The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark Amtower. My guest today is a friend of mine who I met through the Association of Proposal Management Professionals, Betsy Blakeney. Betsy, welcome to the show. It's your first time.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning.
So give me a little background on who Betsy is and what you do and who you do it for.
I'm a director of proposal management for CACI. I lead a team of six other proposal managers in the health litigation and enterprise IT business. I'm a past APMP chief executive officer and also a former National Capital Area Chapter president. I'm the co-author of the APMP Industry Glossary of Terms, and I'm considered a champion of professional development.
You're also considered really good at proposals. I know this.
Thank you.
So you've written researched and written a study, the Thought Leader Brand Survey. What got you interested in this area?
Well, business development is really my second career, and I'm closely approaching the retirement age. And so I started thinking about my leadership legacy and wanted to get a sense of what my path forward would be. So I decided that I would reach out to a community that I trusted and wanted to see why they considered themselves thought leaders in our profession and how they earned my respect, trust, and credibility.
Okay. So, well, as a proposal professional, you also have the duty frequently probably to outline who your subject matter experts in particular areas are for proposals, right?
That's correct. And so when one looks at subject matter experts, or in this case, thought leaders in my profession, I wanted to, just like I do with proposals, determine what their differentiators were.
Okay. So now we're talking the language that I love to talk, because differentiation, I think, is key to marketing as well. So what was the initial or the total scope of the study? How did you envision this? How did it get started? I know you're doing it because it's end of a career kind of thing, but most people aren't going to undertake a task this daunting.
I was looking for a subject, a topic, really, that I could use to present not only at APMP regional conferences, but also for the international conference. And so when you've been doing this for a number of years and there's a lot of best practice out there, you start looking at next level thinking. What was it? What would it be that would appeal to the conference attendees? And what really could I embrace that I was passionate about and wanted to find out more about, so that I could make a measure on my own life what was important going forward?
Okay, so give me the scope of the study then. What soup to nuts? What are we talking about here?
Well, first I started out trying to identify what branding, personal branding, was, and then once I uncovered some of that through participating in a number of webinars as well as doing some reading, I started down the thought leadership path. That, of course, led me to your course and two other courses which one I have concluded and the other one I'm in the middle of, a group I know you're very familiar with, Hinge from Reston, Virginia.
Yep.
So I'm currently involved in their workshop series. So I started to define in our profession what the difference was between someone who would be considered perhaps a classic thought leader, they were a subject matter expert, to someone who might be a standout or a rising star, and then working their way up the continuum to what Hinge refers to as the visible expert who would be the exemplar in the field. And so when I looked to what those definitions were, I then tried to identify individuals who had built up a strong reputation in my field and then decided to put out...
proposal, bid, business development?
Right, okay. Correct. And so I thought I would then put together and send out a survey to them, asking them how they became thought leaders.
Okay. Now, were any of them surprised that you approach them as thought leaders and not just experts in the arena? Did they see the difference?
Yes, most of them were flattered and some of them were even embarrassed to be considered thought leaders because, as you know, and some of your listeners may know, you really can't consider yourself a thought leader. It's a moniker that someone bestows upon you. So as you go through the research, it becomes very clear that becoming a thought leader is something that other people do to you. You yourself can position to be considered that, but you can't really name yourself as a thought leader.
Well, the ones that I see that do rarely have what I consider to be sufficient credentials to actually be even a subject matter expert, much less a thought leader.
Right. And I think people have different definitions of what they consider that to be. What I looked for in folks were whether or not they were providing valuable content to the community that they had built around them, which was critical, whether or not they were a published author. And it didn't really matter to me whether it was a book or a blog or a website or they were participating in something else. And that they probably were a frequent speaker at a variety of venues. But most importantly, they had a strong reputation for being identified as a singular expert, that they had a niche community built around them.
Okay. I want to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. My guest is Betsy Blakeney. She's a BD and proposal pro at CACI. You can find Betsy on LinkedIn. She's not here as a spokesman for CACI. She's here because she wrote this extraordinary study. You can follow her at, and this is a cool handle, on Twitter at deadline driven. And again, I that's just a cool handle. I like that. Mine's just my typical AmTower. So.
That's your brand. That's important.
It has evolved into a brand that it is what it is, right? So,
yes.
How did you select the people that you studied for this? What initially drew you? I mean, you gave some criteria, but aside from publishing, when I'm seeking to add key people to my network, part of it has to be they need that desire to share, not just that they produce, but they're driven. So, how'd you select the people that you studied?
Well, the list really was easy to come up with initially. I selected individuals based on my own personal observations. And then, of course, I used those four strategies that I talked about earlier. I didn't have to whittle the list down. at this point, having identified 10 to 12 people, I decided that I would just send the survey to them and see whether or not they would complete it. And I did it on the premise of they had to have demonstrated to me that they were recognized by our peers for being a solution provider and having some innovative ideas that could be put into practice, that they'd proven themselves in either a business or academic environment through the successful implementation of those ideas. And as I indicated earlier, that they'd published articles or blog posts and written books on the trends and topics influencing our industry. And then that they deliberately made the decision about how and where they wanted to make a contribution. And most importantly, that they were willing to share their ideas with the rest of us.
Okay. That for me, that's the biggie. I mean, you got to love what you do, but you've got to be willing to share and continue growing. So what kind of elements, I mean, we just kind of went over this, the, you know, producing all of the articles, et cetera. But I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff that you read, blogs, trade press, et cetera, is often a regurgitation, sometimes lacks a point of view, and tends to be more, you know, following trends rather than identifying, you know, the difference between a trend and a fad and maybe taking that trend to the next level. So are there any other elements of thought leadership that you have in here, or shall we migrate on to the next topic?
Well, I think part of the advice that came back was some of the individuals I profiled actually took offense to the title, Becoming a Thought Leader. They wanted to impress upon me that it was more about building an audience and building trust, and that your audience decides whether or not you are a thought leader, not you. And whether or not you end up being a thought leader, an audience is still a good thing to have. So,
sure. Well, you know, can't be one without, according to you,
right.
and to me. I agree with
right.
that.
Right. And, you know, part of what I learned from your course is that it's not a self-bestowed title. It's often accompanied by more business for you and your company if you put yourself out there working for someone else. And then it's a discipline, so you must be seen, known, and trusted, and that there are no shortcuts.
Okay. The seen part is not as easy as many would think, because you can start a blog, you can produce some really good information, but if nobody's following you or reading it, you're kind of a thought leader or a subject matter expert, more likely, in a vacuum. You can be a brilliant person and live in your mom's basement with a box of Cheez-Its and a case of Dr. Pepper and just, you know, have no followers. So what do thought leaders consciously build that visibility factor? or when somebody is a subject matter expert, should they be trying to create that visibility factor?
I think they should be trying to build the visibility factor. That's part of why I'm taking the workshops and courses that I am. I don't consider myself a thought leader, even though I've held just about every position in APMP that you can, except the executive director position. It really is more about how the public that you're serving perceives you. So a number of the individuals that I profiled have taken a very decided direct paths to increasing their visibility, and others of them would tell you that it was really more happenstance that they started developing a following.
Well, yes, and you know, my career case in point there, you know, I did not start off with the idea that, you know, end goal would be subject matter expert thought leader. I started off with the idea that I have these ideas that I want to share. So I started writing articles in the late 80s, early 90s, started hosting seminars in 1991. you know, and the visibility, the network, if you will, started mm-hmm. evolving way back then. And a lot of the people who attended my early sessions still come to my sessions now. But you know, that leads to another thing. You know, thought leadership is not a title for life. But if you are a perpetual student of the market and bother to share, there is that sustainability factor. How do you see that play out with the people that you profiled here?
Well, let me talk briefly about two of them. You know, most of the folks I looked at are either considered leading authorities in a particular segment of the business, some of them trailblazers, many of them founders. Two of them, Beth Wingate, who's a managing principal at Lowfeld Consulting here in the Washington metropolitan area.
Been on the show.
And on the show. You know, she has a separate brand as an app maven. She has quite a bit of a following from folks who have seen her as an earlier adopter of technology, and she's somebody who I consider to be a lifter and a leader. She can take a very complex subject and break it down so it's understandable. She also has an employer who encourages her to have her own voice.
Bob likes being around smart people.
Right, which I think is critical. On the other side of the coin, we've got Dick Eason, who's a proprietor of his brand Wordman. He happens to be a vice president of corporate support at SM&A. And, you know, he started down this path because he was providing a Microsoft Word presentation at the APMP conferences, and that sort of, you know, he called it word power, and that led to the development.
Oh, so it's Word as in Microsoft Word.
Right. So okay. It led to the development of a sort of a superhero for him. You know, he had published a number of articles and found that particularly frustrating. And so one of the things that you learn in the process of being recognized as a thought leader is that you really do have to enjoy writing. That in order to become more visible, that is one of the steps that is necessary. And so he started codifying the steps necessary to become successful in that particular niche area. And then he created a foundation for others to build on so that they in turn could find success when they were having to use Word in the development of proposal responses. You know, his message was more one of, you know, keep at it until you become recognized. It doesn't happen overnight.
No, none of this happens overnight. Spell his last name. I want to look him up. I don't know him.
It's E-A-S-S-O-M, first name Dick. He, too, is a past APMP CEO, mm-hmm. As is Beth Wingate. But I will say this, not everyone that I interviewed were members of APMP.
I know.
You know, you being one of them, Larry Allen, who's president of Allen Federal Business Partners, another leading authority who I profiled, who also, as many of the listeners know, has a radio show here off the shelf.
He had it. He's no longer on that.
Doing that? That was part of...
The show's still here. He's not on it. On my show frequently.
Okay, that was part of the qualifying criteria.
Right.
Was the visibility. So, you know, in addition to newsletter and contributing to other books and articles and such.
And I run across him at events where I'm speaking. He's also speaking on a very regular basis. And
right.
He probably does a lot more of those than I do.
Okay. So then a couple other of the individuals I profiled, one who I consider, again, this is someone who's
Hold that thought a second. Let's sure. pick up. I think I know where you're going with this one because he's a friend of mine, too. Yeah. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Betsy and I will return after this message.
This is John Gilroy. My show, Federal Tech Talk, answers the question, how does technology make life easier for the federal audience? I've spent years interviewing federal CIOs, tech leaders, and big company CTOs. What they tell me is compelling, provocative, and always relevant to the federal government and contractor. Check it out Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 1 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM or download it anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search Federal Tech Talk.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. My guest is Betsy Blakeney. Betsy is a truly a proposal professional, BD professional, and she probably should have profiled herself in this study because a number of the people I know in APMP and proposal management in general consider her a leader in this arena. So we're going to talk about another person profiled in the study.
Yes, I got responses from everyone I sent the survey out to except this gentleman, and he finally did respond, Carl Dixon. Many of you know him as the founder of the CapturePlanning.com network. He's just so busy, sometimes it's hard to catch him, but he did respond and was happy to do so.
He's on the damn beach.
I know. Well, we'd love to be in the Keys, wouldn't we? He certainly has what I consider to be an empire. You know, he's an author, a speaker, a trainer, a coach. He's an innovator who thinks differently, almost a provocateur, if you will. And the fact that he brings different perspectives to the profession and makes time for reflection with ideas that go against the grain, I think, is important. It's allowed him to really draw people into his messaging. And it's that sustained reflection that he has that's necessary for him to develop his breakthrough ideas.
He's amazing. I get a, you know, I swap emails with him regularly. He's been on the show usually like three times a year, sometimes more if he's coming to town. But he'll ping me and say, got a half hour, I want to run this idea by you. And it's not like a two-minute idea. He needs 30 minutes to flesh it out and get my initial response. So they just keep coming.
Yeah, well, he needed a domain name for what was to become his web-based business. And he wanted it to be more than just about proposals. So that's really how he came up with the CapturePlanning.com. He, too, struggled. This was a question that I asked everyone about their fears and failures. His struggle really was he wasn't sure as a thought leader what to give away and what to sell. And a lot of people told him that he gave too much away. I think that's really the area where he excels and is able to draw people in. On the other side of the coin, a lot of people told him that his subscriptions were expensive. And so he said he sounded like that was the right place to be. So, you know, continued success to him. He also, as you know, has the subscription-based prop library. He tells me he is in development of version 2.0 on that.
Yep.
And he also has the virtual VP services, which I know you are part of that. He is a past APMP NCA president, and he's got upwards over 63,000 subscribers to his newsletter. And
plus that tens of thousands of people in his LinkedIn groups. So.
Right. He's over 32,000 members and in the LinkedIn groups. He moderates the business development, proposal management, writing, marketing, and sales from CapturePlanning.com with 7 subgroups.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in all in that area, he certainly has the clout to implement progress
and he's accessible.
You know, that's right.
You got to get on his radar, but like you said, you know, every now and again it takes him a little while to get back, but he does get back, and he's you know, just a very sharing kind of guy. So I'll endorse you. I think he does give a lot away, but he attracts a lot of attention doing it.
Yeah. And then I had spoken earlier about, you know, trailblazers. One gentleman I profiled, many people be familiar with his name, Tom Sant. He is the co-founder of Hyde Park Partners. He's an internationally recognized pioneer in business communications. He does have a doctorate in English. And started teaching engineers how to write clearly and concisely. He left academics to become a consultant because he always wanted to be self-employed. What motivated him to actually move into this arena, he's known for inventing the first proposal automation system back in 1991, the first web-based content configuration.
91?
91.
Wow.
First web-based content configuration system in 95, and the first system for automatically analyzing and responding to RFPs, which many of us know that was from the Sant Corporation, which, of course, sold off to Qvidian. He was the first APMP fellow back in 2001. He has published three books. And he knew he was going to be successful when, after he published his 90s bestseller, Persuasive Business Proposals, the publisher came back to him and requested a second edition. That book is now in its third edition, so I would say he definitely has what I refer to as a stickiness.
A book on an esoteric topic like proposals, to have your publisher come back for a third edition, having dealt with a major publisher before, this doesn't happen very often.
Right. Well, you'll be interested to learn that what motivated him actually to pursue this line of business was that he was in a tire repair shop. One day getting some new tires. And the owner of the shop asked him what it was that he did for a living. And he told him that he was a freelancer in persuasive communication. And the gentleman told him that no one would pay him to get that information, and that he couldn't possibly make a living off of it. And so that really made him mad. So he set out to prove that guy wrong. And again, he has certainly done that. It's interesting twist. He believes that you should develop the product and methodology first that produces results. Mm-hmm. And that thought leadership is not an intentional pursuit. In his case, it was an accidental consequence.
I think probably for most of the people that I personally think of as thought leaders, I think that's true. It's not a career goal. It's ultimately, you know, icing on a cake, but you don't even know that the cake doesn't have icing. That recognition factor just comes as you add value to a market niche.
Right. I mean, there's no question about that. And how you advance your ideas really speaks volumes about who you are and how you set forward in the thought leadership direction.
Okay. I know what's coming next, so why don't we take our last break, and then we'll talk about one other person and do a wrap-up on elements of, activities of, and sustainability of thought leadership. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Jared Serbu, the host of Federal News Radio's On DoD. Join me each week for a close-up view of the Defense Department from the management perspective. We examine the department from every angle with interviews with top brass and industry experts. It's reliable information from the people in the know. That's On DoD, every Wednesday at 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock Eastern on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, or download it anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Search On DoD.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark Amtower. Nobody else volunteered. I'm here with Betsy Blakeney. Again, Betsy, you find Betsy, B-L-A-K-N-E-Y, on LinkedIn. You can find her on Twitter at Deadline Driven, at Deadline Driven. I suggest you do both. She comes up with some obviously really cool stuff. So the last person we're going to discuss here is whom?
Mike Parkinson. He is a partner with the 24-hour company. And those of you who are branching out and seeking expertise in the visual space will find that is a place where you might locate Mark. Mike. In addition, Mike is an interesting individual to profile because he had several other businesses at the same time that he is working at the 24-hour company. So the brand that he has developed is called Billion Dollar Graphics. He also developed a second identity with a service called Get My Graphic. He's published works, books. Many of them relate to the Billion Dollar Graphic series, as well as support materials and a graphic cheat sheet. He participates not only in many APMP conferences, but you can find him all around the country. Doing different conference gigs, if you will. He, too, is certified at the professional level APMP fellow. In addition to being a graphics guru, he is a marketing expert. What's fascinating about Mike's story is that he set out on a path to become the next Edward Tufte. And, again, if you're very involved in visual communications, you would note that Tufte is a visual communications guru. So whatever steps Tufte took to become successful and garner a cult-like status, that's what Mike set out to do.
Again, this was a conscious journey.
It was a conscious journey, yes. But he too spent time talking about some of the failures that were needed to help him make course corrections, and that many times a string of errors or mistakes were followed by a big success. He's someone who would tell you that in order to be successful, you need to stay true to your core values, and that if you help enough other people achieve their goals, you will achieve yours as well. That has been his motto ever since. The two interesting twists for him, the Get My Graphic was spotted by eLearning Brothers when Mike was speaking at another association conference. They approached him, and he decided to sell that business. And so he actually has been able to benefit from the monetization of mm-hmm. his brand, if you will. And at some point, I guess the point of pain would be he felt he was more known for Billion Dollar Graphics than he was for the 24-hour company. So that was a tough pill for him to swallow.
I always sort of thought of them together, not separately.
They are separate businesses.
Okay.
And so, again, it goes back to the discussion about, you know, you can have a voice where you speak for the company that you represent, much like we saw in the case of Dick Eason and Beth Wingate. And Mike Parkinson would be the same thing with a 24-hour company, but they've developed brands separate and apart, which is where the you know, final step is, as you might counsel in the thought leadership path, would be that you actually go beyond just influencing people and having an impact, but you also then can develop an income off of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, the income is a good thing for for all of us. So I want to back up a second. So the 24-hour company helps companies with that final stage of the proposal, getting it out really quickly. Are they primarily a graphics firm?
I would say probably visual communications.
Okay, yeah.
Would be the term that they would use.
When did that become an extraordinarily valuable part of the proposal process? Because it wasn't always that way.
I'm not sure I can point to a specific date and time, although I'm sure they could.
Okay. But it's evolved rapidly.
Right. It became apparent to me, if you've ever worked in a small business and you're back to being the jack of all trades because you're just trying to get the business off its feet and an entrance into the federal market, you may find that the individual that you hire has to be able to do everything. And so, visual representation can go anything from exhibits being in the form of tables and charts or schematics, some of which can be quite elaborate, to something of a graphic that's, a lot simpler to understand to be able to communicate the message. So I think over time, people saw the development of that being a better way for people to understand what it was that you were proposing. So it's, commonplace now.
It makes perfect sense because we're all visual learners.
Yes.
But it's, for me, a fascinating topic, even though I'm not a proposal guy, because as somebody who writes frequently, I've been employing graphics more and more in my LinkedIn posts and my blogs. Next issue version of Government Marketing Best Practices will have a heck of a lot more graphics than anything I've done previously book-wise. Let's wrap up by there's a lot of people out there who aspire to be or claim to be subject matter experts and some thought leaders. So let's recap the elements of the activities of and really developing and sustaining the platform.
Okay, so to find your voice or craft key messages so that you actually can build a community, there are a number of things I think that people in this particular industry, and I'm not talking about proposal development or business development now, but I'm talking about those that really speak to thought leadership. And I would point out a couple of them. One, Denise Brousseau, who does have a thought leadership book out, as well as Dory Clark, a book which was rated, I believe, this year as one of the number one business books, called Standout. In order to advance your ideas, they believe that, one, you have to be approachable in order to attract and connect followers. You've got to be discoverable. So whether that means you talk to the media or through the media, there are things you can do. You can write white papers. You can apply for awards if you think that, you're building up a reputation. You need to be able to share openly the thoughts that you have, but yet be authentic at the same time to build connections. Certainly, it requires a good deal of persistence and determination in order to stand out from the rest of the crowd. And by all means, as you would in any development of any skill or craft, you would want to make sure that you get supported through a coach or someone mentoring you, another colleague who's perhaps gone down this path. And then the final piece of advice would be just don't think about it. You need to take some action and do it and show folks that there are other ways of thinking. Like I say, don't always focus on the best practice. Think about the next practice.
Right. So it is not a linear thing with an end. It is a loop that just keeps going and going.
Right. So, you know, if you're ready to be a thought leader, you need to identify an idea that sets you apart, find a way to build the audience, use several communication channels or platforms that are out there, and then inspire others to embrace your vision.
Yep. Betsy, thank you so much for coming in today. Again, you can find Betsy on LinkedIn at Betsy Blakeney, and you can find her on Twitter at Deadline Driven. And I'm Mark Amtower. This is not my day job. I advise companies on all aspects of marketing to the government, and my Government Market Master Program offers 6 4-hour workshops on all facets of marketing to the government, including, as Betsy alluded to, a session on developing the subject matter expert platform. You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, and thank you for doing so.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.